This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
All right, here we go on a Friday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you, getting set for the weekend. We got a Fan Club Friday coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. We have a friend of the show stopping by.
Old friend! New location.
Yes, yes. New product. New drinks. Excited for that.
Yeah, very much so.
In the 1 o'clock hour today. Of course, Fan Club Friday brought to you by Circa Sports, Circa Las Vegas. We will be out in Vegas next Wednesday evening, broadcasting live Thursday and Friday of next week. Really excited about that. Also, real quick, if you saw, I tweeted out a little while ago, for those that are in Missouri, Circa was awarded one of the sports betting licenses that when it launches on December 1st. So for those of you that are wondering how you can bet, when you can bet, who you can bet with, big deal today. DraftKings and Circa were awarded the two untethered licenses. Now, that doesn't mean that FanDuel, BetMGM, and all these other operators will not still exist. They will. This was just
we'll set that partnership.
This is just untethered, meaning they don't have to share the revenue with anybody, basically, in terms of partnering up with anybody. And Circa, we don't have in Kansas, so obviously that's exciting for people on the Missouri side of the state line as well. And you guys know how much we love going out to Circa and the resort. And
yeah, come out and see us.
Be out there for contest weekend. Dusty's part of the Circa Millions contest with us. We've got an I think we finally convinced Rob. I think Rob's with us. So it's going to be.
He seemed interested.
I think Rob's in. It's you, me, Dusty, Speck, and I think Rob for Circa Millions.
I will say for the second straight show, a little breaking news to open the show. This time, okay. Not Chiefs related. Michigan is now expected to be fined more than $20 million as a punishment for
shatters the record.
Sign stealing scandal. Previous record was $8 million by Tennessee. And, Harbaugh will receive a 10-year show cause penalty.
Well, he's not going back to college
as
anyway.
A part of it. Now, here's what I'll say: is
there's no other ban. There's no like bowl ban or playoff ban or anything like that. Associated?
So far, it doesn't say that. It just says Sharon Moore will also be suspended an extra game as a part of the deal.
Heaven forbid.
I don't
heaven
show.
Forbid it's going to be against Maryland.
Here's why this doesn't matter at all. At all, if they're not going to take away their national championship or prevent them from playing in the college football playoff, it's meaningless. Toothless. Oh, no, you took a little money from them. Michigan prints $20 million, Gold. What do they care? And the guy who got the show cause penalty, like you said, is going to spend the rest of his life coaching in the NFL.
Yeah, but I'm just...
So, they weren't punished at all.
No, but, Cody, I'm not a fan of all of a sudden ripping down... What?
There might be beef already.
Why?
On the show. You stole Dusty's tweet again, Cody?
Oh, gosh. Okay.
You stole it again?
What? No, I didn't. What'd I steal?
Oh, my gosh. Here we go. Get in here. I have no idea what we're talking about. Get in here for a second.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but Dusty goes,
what are we doing?
Cody stole my tweet again. I was like, excuse me?
What are we doing?
I didn't steal a tweet.
You must not follow me.
What? I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
I don't know what he's talking about either. Can someone tell me what tweet I stole?
I'm very confused.
52 minutes ago via Dusty Likens Twitter. Let me get to it.
Okay,
sorry, it's terrible radio now. 52 minutes ago, Dusty Likens tweets, in two rehab starts, Jack Caglione is 6 of 9 in AAA.
Then our tweets are very similar. I apologize. I did not see that. I am, as you can see, dressed in my CAG shirt, which I would have worn before 52 minutes ago.
21 minutes
ago. So I was clearly thinking
about it. Jack Caglione is 6 of 9 in his first two rehab starts in AAA via Cody B. Tapp.
I didn't see it. I don't have to tell you.
I hope he gets stung in the eyeball.
Eyeball? I got stung in the lip. People can have similar thoughts.
Maybe that'll open your eyes a little bit more on Twitter. I thought we were friends.
I think all this says is that you and I are both fans of Jack Caglione. That's all. We can both like Jack Caglione and be paying attention to what he's doing in the minors. I looked it up this morning.
Yeah. No, I love you. I just hate your Twitter.
That's fair.
Alex, you okay with it?
He's okay.
Yep, I'm good.
You want to bet on the over-under of next stolen tweet?
So...
I'll give it till Monday when Caglione goes 3-for-4 this week.
I'm just telling you. Oh, my goodness. I'm so lost. I'm so lost.
Back.
You can't be found.
Back to the Michigan stuff for a minute.
Oh, yeah.
I know you say you don't like, but if you cheated to do it, then why is it tearing it down?
So I was going to say.
You cheated. So why can't it not exist?
Yeah. So look.
Or prevent them from winning a national championship this year.
If you want to do the scholarship thing, fine. I'm never a believer in taking away a title that we all saw a team or an organization won. I mean, this applies to Louisville. To me, they didn't make everybody mail their championship shirts back in as a fan because it existed. We didn't go with the Men in Black device in front of every sports fan in the world and say, wipe it from our memory.
But if you cannot stand to get there.
I don't like the idea of removing titles from anybody. It's the dumbest thing. It's stupid. It just does not matter. No, everybody saw a team win a national championship. So
but they cheated to get it. They didn't win anything. They cheated in order to accomplish that goal.
Michigan did not win a national title when they were cheating, though.
They did not win a national title when they were cheating.
Fine. Did they stop? Are we sure?
Yes, I think it was reported that they for the first like 4 or 5
now
games,
this time we promise we're not cheating. Swearsies, for the first 4 or 5 games that they won, Drew, they cheated in a season in which they won a national championship. How is that not to get rid of a championship? I understand we watched them gold. I'm not saying like we're just erasing like in our heads, it's like when they get rid of Final Fours. Like Kansas got rid of a Final Four, I think. And you're like, I watched them play in the Final Four. That is definitively a thing that existed. But this isn't even like a recruiting scandal where a person still has to perform the act. They gained a competitive advantage over their opponent. So just don't find them at all. Why punish them anything? $20 million and a 10-year show cost for a guy who's not going to be in the league is toothless.
So
it's a slap on the wrist to Michigan. It doesn't mean anything.
I still think it makes it a slap on the wrist, but Pete Thamel put out the full list of punishments, and there's some things that matter a little bit. It's not, I think it's still a slap on the wrist, Cody. I think you're right in this.
They're on probation, I guess.
A 25% reduction in official visits, so 25% less of they can have recruits on campus. A 14-week prohibition on recruiting communication, so
They're hurting them a little.
They're hurting them more on the recruiting side of things, and maybe this will damage the talent that you bring in, not necessarily anything like a playoff ban or a bowl ban or anything like that, which would have been, I don't know if you think that would be good enough, Cody, but that would be stiff enough where it would be a serious penalty for this year's team and maybe even moving forward.
If anything, the thing I hate most
has that out now.
I actually do kind of hate, like, because I said maybe keep him out of the playoff. Like, I actually like punishing the team who cheated more than the current team.
That's the other
problem.
Because,
like, the current people didn't cheat. Like, I kind of hate when it's like, well, you're banned from the postseason. You're like, but they didn't do anything. That team didn't cheat.
Right, right. Yeah,
the previous team cheated.
If you actually can 100% prove that they won a title because of cheating, okay, fine. One, I don't think you can. But, like, if you think you can, that's what you just said at the end, though, is the biggest problem, too, is there is no perfect way to also punish a program for this because, I don't believe in postseason bans for a kid that was, 16 years old when the program cheated 3 years earlier. OK, like that doesn't make any sense for a different coach or a different player at the time that wasn't even part of the program. And that's where it gets so tricky with how you punish and how you handle these
like punishing
things.
A guy who's never going to coach in college football ever again.
Well, I'm with you really, there. The show cost thing's a joke. I'm with you. Like it just doesn't matter. We all knew he left for the NFL because he knew he was about to get nailed and was not going to be allowed to coach. That the coach part of it is just the way the system is set up. And it is ridiculous that you can truly run away from it. That's what he did. He ran away from the penalty.
Yeah, and there's no punishment or no negative for anybody who's around. Like, so, just get to live their lives. It just doesn't feel like – it always just feels so meaningless. Like, they cheated in a season in which they won – if I'm Ohio State, I never let them live it down. They cheated in a season in which they won a national championship. And they probably win those 5 games anyway. They were a great team.
Yeah, like
they
East
didn't
Carolina
need,
or whatever.
But that's the thing.
Sure.
But we don't know that. But we don't know that because they knew all their defensive signals. Drew, that probably makes it a little bit easier to be effective
against them,
you know?
I think that.
But to be honest, though, you didn't actually think they were getting their title taken away, Cody.
No, but I just think that, like, this is why I'm saying I didn't think they'd do it, but I think they should.
Okay.
There's a difference in that. I don't think that you should allow teams to openly cheat.
Here's the statement from the NCAA. Here's the statement from the on the very thing we were just discussing. The NCAA says there was sufficient grounds for a multi-year postseason ban. However, the panel determined that a postseason ban would unfairly penalize student athletes for the actions of coaching staff who are no longer associated. And I fully agree with that.
I do kind of agree with the idea that like you went to Michigan and committed there, and all of a sudden you don't get to be in the postseason because the guy before you cheated. That sucks.
Yeah. So I actually think that
that's why I think taking away the title makes more sense.
Yeah, you can't wipe away history. I don't know, man.
The interesting part about this, though, I think is moving forward now, is this a stiff enough penalty for other schools to not do the same sort of thing?
No. Dude,
because I think that's part of this
people
whole
have been
conversation.
Cheating forever.
Because, well,
if I told Texas you could pay $20 million for a national championship, I can promise you they'd pay it.
Well, because I think that's part of the conversation.
You gotta fire your coach and you get $20 million.
Hey, the College Sports Commission is coming in. They're going to be more strict and all these other things. What comes of these penalties that we see, if there are any, over the next 2 or 3 years? This one doesn't really fit in that realm of things because it's an NCAA thing, not a College Sports Commission thing in terms of how they're evaluating penalties and stuff. But it'll be interesting to follow if other programs are scared off of doing something similar to what Michigan did because the penalties are stiff enough in their opinion, or if they're loose enough where they're like, you know what? We can get away with this and just owe 20 mil. But for Texas, we generate,
as you can see, though, from the Michigan
hundreds of millions
thing,
of dollars a
as,
year.
As you can see from the names mentioned in the Michigan report, though, today, I mean, this wasn't like one person decided it. I mean, it took...
This was a clear scheme.
A lot of people involved to make this happen, right?
Yeah. I mean, better make sure nobody's reporting their practices or their sideline signals. That's for damn sure. They got a cheater in their
division. I'm glad you actually brought up and flipped it to the NFL for a second. I mean, like, this goes back to the Belichick and the Spygate stuff. Like, ultimately, yes, there was punishments and fines and suspensions, but the Patriots didn't have titles stripped. Everybody saw them win a Super Bowl. Like, that's just never going to happen. And I understand to a certain extent why. It's always, the only thing they can ever really do, dude, is fine financially and suspension.
In the NFL, they can do draft picks.
You know, in draft picks. But even then,
I do think you should hurt the program worse, not just the visits. Take away as many scholarships as you want.
Yeah.
You know,
that would be the way to do it is your recruiting class is limited to 15 commits or something like that, where it's a, holy crap.
Like, good luck.
We're not doing this because of what they just did to Michigan. I mean,
that's I guess kind of my point. The reason why gold I want it taken away is not to erase history. It is I want an actual deterrent.
You want to make a statement
from trying to cheat. So like if that case, if he just said, instead of how many scholarship players does University of Michigan typically get? 60? 80?
No. Scholarships, yes. But in terms of like commits, every recruiting cycle is probably anywhere from 20 to 28.
Okay, so let's say you get new guys. You get 80 scholarships. Now you get 40. We're not going to death penalty you like we did SMU, but we're going to make you a bad football team for a few years now. And you're going to have to live with that. And you're in the Big Ten, and you're going to have to slog through 6 wins, 7 wins because you cheated. And you're going to have to figure out a way to make people still be interested in Michigan.
I'm fine with scholarship reductions, and they do scholarship reductions. Like someone says, didn't Louisville take down their banner? No, that's my point. They took down the banner. We all still know Louisville won a national title in 2013. They didn't make John Smith that ordered a bunch of championship sweatshirts send them all back to Fanatics. You know what I mean? Like, that's my point. Like, yes, the banner is not hanging up there, but we all know Louisville won the national title in 2013.
Yeah.
That's all. Anyway, we get back into this. I'm sure we will. Breaking news in the collegiate world with Michigan finding out their punishments and what it actually means now that the NCAA has resolved their case. What's crazy also is it took until August of 2025 for this to get figured out. Like, this is going back 2 years, right?
They won the title in January of 23,
right? So 2022, is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
So it's been 3 years. I think, Cody, real quick, that's probably also why my anger about it is so lessened. It was 3 years ago. Like, this is like, you know, it's like 3 years for 3 years ago. It's like, if they would have had this going on and resolved it in 2023, I would have been fired up. It was 3 years ago. I just don't
care
anymore.
Which is probably an NCAA issue.
Well, of course.
The investigation process being slow.
A little bit of too much red tape. Speaking of red tape slow processes. How about Rashee Rice waiting so long for his hearing? We got a little bit more, I'd say, context yesterday. Dan Graziano, he had spoken about this both on social media and, of course, in an interview about why it is the way it is. He said, for context, league player and union discussed discipline but couldn't reach an agreement for Rashee Rice. So the case will be heard in front of Sue L. Robinson, who oversaw Deshaun Watson's disciplinary hearing, and the understanding is that the 9:30 date is because it's when it fits into her schedule.
Okay.
So the reason why 6 weeks Man, imagine being so damn busy, you can't schedule a single hearing for 6 to 7 weeks from now. That seems crazy to me in its own right, but that's why 9:30. It's not like the Chiefs are just trying to get through the four most difficult games. It's because that's when she's able to hear it. But when you hear that context, Gold, when you hear it's because they couldn't, the NFL player and the league, the player and the NFLPA, couldn't agree on a discipline, that definitely means Rashee Rice wants 2 to 4 and the league wants 8, right? That there's a number that the league wants. It's correct. 8 to 10 and the player wants 2 to 4 and we should be thinking about settling in on 6. Because the last time Sue L. Robinson handled something, Deshaun Watson wanted 4. The league wanted a year and they settled into 10 or 11 games. So like they found a place in the middle after going through a meeting process.
Yeah, very clearly. I mean, Nate Taylor yesterday said that this is something Rashee Rice wanted and now it makes more sense, which is he wanted it pushed back and wanted a hearing because he wasn't happy with what perhaps the NFL was trying to offer. And this is where the NFLPA, there's collective bargaining. The player has the right to fight back on a potential punishment. And that's the process that's in play here. You know, that's what's been weird to see Mike Florio's reaction on Pro Football Talk. He's acting like there's some conspiracy here.
Source.
Any player that gets suspended or, you know, has an idea of a suspension because the league is starting to tell you what we're about to do has the right, because it's collectively bargained, to have a hearing to dispute what the potential punishment can be. And in a lot of cases, yeah, it results in the punishment being less. That's why the player, of course, wants to do it, and it doesn't hurt for the team as well. This is not some completely unheard of process. What I still think is crazy is why we're waiting till September 30th. And I know you said in the report from Graziano, it's that her schedule's busy. Like, I understand the NFL's not the only thing she handles, okay? She's a judge or whatever. That seems crazy to me that we have to wait till September 30th. That's all.
Yeah. I know that she's busy, but it's like this. Shouldn't that get rid of the idea that like the Chiefs are the ones who are trying to delay this just so they could get in their 4 primetime games? And it's pointed out by, I don't know, literally everybody on the planet. The next 6 games after that are like Sunday Night Football, Monday Night Football, Monday Night Football, Bills in the 4:20, you know, the 3:25 slot here in Central. The Florio's the worst about conspiracy theory. That man would like strangle a seal for a click. I don't know. Like, I mean, anything.
What an analogy.
To get it. I just like.
Where did you pull that one from?
I don't know. Honestly, it was just a random.
Strangle problem. A seal.
It's just like, that's what he would do in order to get the attention on the like, source tells me very convenient that the high profile games where she might be available for. What's more concerning is that Dane Graziano said what. It might not just be these 4 or 5 weeks that this hangs over their head. It might take her a while to make a decision.
I gave
you the timeline of how long it took her to make a decision on the Deshaun Watson, and she made a ruling. Then the NFL
didn't like it,
appealed it, so then they had to go through that process before they did it. There is a chance it's like December when we're finding out about this suspension, which is crazy. In-season suspensions for off-field actions happen very rarely, and they've happened twice already for the Chiefs, and Frank Clark and Willie Gay.
I would say, barring the potential where somehow this gets settled before the hearing date, which I guess there's a remote chance of that still happening, like a 10% chance that somehow they do find a way to get this done before September 30th's hearing. If they don't do that, it's kind of what you're saying. We shouldn't just be talking about Rashee Rice being available week 1 through 4. Honestly, week 1 through 6, week 1 through 7, he might truly be available before something happens. Yesterday, we were so focused on, all right, week 1 through 4, you're going to have Rashee Rice. He's coming back from an injury. You're going to find out what this offense can be and all of this kind of stuff. And now I get the sense, I actually think he's going to play the first 5, 6, 7 weeks.
I think it's past week 4. I think he's going to get suspended right before the Bills game or something. Like
that'll make people nationally happy. That'll make fans across the league happy. If that's what it takes to end the conspiracy, then I guess so be it. My goodness, I'm so sick of that. And when Florio tweets stuff like that, it just fuels the flame. It just fuels the fire even more, man. It does. And you know, I text line still stuck on your strangle a seal analogy. I can't
focus on this show anymore. It just feels like such an innocent animal to go after, you know.
Yeah.
If we got to choose 4
games. I thought you were
going
to say otter because Kelsey was mentioning otters in the Swift interview.
Oh, yeah, he was.
It would be very entertaining to see that, though, I think. Just
to see that. What? Wait. Strangling an otter?
Hang on.
Or a seal?
Whoa. What kind of sick stuff are you into, man?
What videos are you watching these days?
As soon as I
thought you were learning French, not other stuff.
No. I don't think he'd be able to.
I see. You'd like to see him try. This is more like a threat.
Here we go. So
it would be CO1, Florio 0. That's how it likely ends.
Someone says Florio sounds like a seal barking with most of his takes. So good pull, Cody. 913-586-7965. By the way, the video stream is up and running as well. Facebook, YouTube. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any of the shows here on 96.5 The Fan. Of course, Twitch. Make sure on your Twitter and X, you also are following the station as well. We've got all the shows streaming there. We will get back into Rashee Rice throughout the show today. Josh Briscoe is going to join us. Of course, he's got pregame tonight on the Chiefs Radio Network, which starts at 8 o'clock tonight. Chiefs football, 8 o'clock coverage begins. And, of course, the game right here on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan. So we'll check in with Briscoe in just a little bit. Our friend Jerry Jones, once again, providing us some more material. I mean, could you imagine if we were in Dallas? Like, we're having fun with this from afar, and we've got about 15 Jerry Jones drops.
He's not even the owner of our team.
No, but he provides us with some great theater, perhaps a soap opera, I should say. In fact, he admitted so just the other day.
Well, I do believe if we're not being looked at, then I'll do my part to get us looked at. The beautiful thing for networks streaming companies is that the NFL is a 365-day-a-year interest factor. A lot of programming, you have to spend as much to make it, to promote it, as you do to make it. The Cowboys are a soap opera 365 days.
The streaming will begin.
When it gets slow, I'll start.
Please take your seats.
Ignore that part.
So it's wonderful to have the great athletes, have the great players. But there's something more there. There's sizzle, there's emotion. And if you will, there's controversy. That controversy is good stuff in terms of keeping and having people's attention.
He's not wrong. He's not wrong.
That's a disastrous thing for an owner to say. You don't admit that.
He's not wrong, but saying that out loud
is horrible.
Is terrible. We've known this about Jerry Jones and the Cowboys, though, for 25, 30 years. I mean, that he loves the drama. It's a circus. He loves the attention. He's the only owner in the league that talks after every single game. I mean, week one, if Dak Prescott throws three picks, hey, Jerry, what'd you think of Dak's interceptions? Like, and he answers it. No other owner does that. None. Could you imagine? I mean, different personalities, but could you imagine Clark Hunt after the Chiefs lose a game that he's having a media scrum answering questions? Like, well, I would enjoy that, but that's just not who he is, and that's not how the Chiefs operate or any other owner but Jerry Jones.
It's genuinely, if you want your team to win, this is horrifying. Gold, you remember, like, how many times on the show we've said, you know, like, what do you want him to say? Or, like, you know, for the things that are, like, obvious, right? We don't expect, like, if an NFL GM was essentially trying to lose to get a quarterback this year, and I do think that there are GMs or owners who are putting their team in bad positions semi-intentionally with the hope that they can solve their problems by drafting number one overall. But they can't say it out loud, right? That'd be crazy. You can't just openly tell your fans, we quit, we're giving up. You can't, as a player, say, I didn't give my best. Nobody ever says that. He said the quiet part out loud. You can't. We know you're doing it, Jerry. You can't. Say it. You can't say I cause problems with my star player because it's good reality television. Yeah, that means your franchise is worth more money, but your fans, I presume, at some point will want your team to win.
They were long past time on that one.
Yeah,
there was a point in that clip where he said, if they're not getting talked about, like, I know how to get people to talk about us, essentially by, you know, going and doing the stuff,
but at
and
the
everything
detriment,
that's happened. It doesn't make any sense.
At the detriment, though, of your football product, like in terms of wins and losses.
I mean,
you're Micah Parsons, one of the best defensive players in the league, and he clearly has an issue with you, and I think they have an issue with him. And if it's anything like the CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott saga, they probably get it resolved the day before the season or that Thursday night game, whatever it is against the Eagles. I think that's the opener, Wednesday afternoon or something. They probably get it fixed. But at some point, you're going to have a player, and maybe Micah Parsons is that. You're going to have a player that finds this. I don't want to be part of the show, the soap opera, as Jerry Jones said. I'll do this somewhere else. Also, I'm sick of losing, maybe. That also might be part
of it. Well, I was going to say, and the fact for him to make those comments, why would you want to go play for the Cowboys if this is what Jerry's if Jerry's openly saying this and admitting to this, why would you want to go and play for a franchise where it sounds like he's open to this idea of having it be a mess? And as long as there's eyeballs on the Cowboys, guess what? The brand's doing great. It doesn't necessarily matter what's going on the football field. I wouldn't want to coach there. Like I think
that's the thing, Drew. They have a first-year head coach right now, too. That's the other part that's a mess. You have a first-year head coach.
It becomes less appealing. Like even for let's say Mike Tomlin gets fired after this year, they part ways. Are we sure that he's going to want the Cowboys job after Jerry Jones just said this?
Depends who else is open, right?
Like I don't think I would.
It would depend on what other openings. You know, you'd have to be able to tell me.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of another job that might open up this. Is Arizona open?
Yeah, let's say McDermott got
canned.
Yeah, Josh Allen.
You know, so I get what you're saying, though. It is a different animal, truly, down in Dallas with how they operate, and it's not changing anytime soon. And even fast forward down the road, eventually,
I don't think it's going to be much different.
When it's his son, when it's just his son around, he hasn't really shown much. Now he may not have as much of the circus. I don't know if his decision making is good. He's not going to probably have the same mentality in terms of holding all the media stuff and talking the same way. Like Jerry Jones is unique in that way, but man, oh man, it's crazy. We'll see what the Cowboys do. I still think Dak's pretty darn good. So the Cowboys are going to find a way to not have an abysmal season. Like, I don't think they're a 6-win football team, but man, it's constantly something down with the Cowboys. Up next, we will talk a little Royals baseball. Jake Eisenberg is off today. That's why we normally would have Jake Eisenberg call in, but we'll talk about something we asked Vern yesterday, the killer instinct. Where is that for this baseball team? We'll also get into a look towards the future and power rank them. Someone tried to do that. It's kind of interesting how they evaluated the Chiefs front office.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving 360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving 360. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Next. Just getting started here on a Friday. We're just getting started here on 96.5 The Fan. I just saw, if you're looking on our social media channels, I guess I should have known. 1 year ago, yesterday. So now it's been a full year of 96.5 The Fan since we switched over to the FM.
How about that? Year.
Got done a lot in 1 year, man.
And we've just been dunking on the competition that entire time.
Well, the video explains that as well.
Mm-hmm. It said number one a lot.
Things are going very well.
Is number one good? Is being first place good?
Things are going very well. Yeah, things are going very, very well for the station. You're home for KC Sports. Of course, you got Chiefs football tonight on the FM. You got Royals baseball tonight on the AM. We got K-State football starting up next Saturday in Ireland. So, yeah, things are going very well. All three shows, obviously. Not to mention our evening program as well. Things are going very, very well here at 96.5 The Fan.
I'm going to have to get on AI later to create that image of Mike Florio. People really hung up on that.
You said
I don't know why I said that.
Strangle a seal? What?
I just wanted a visual of like the extremes he would go to in order to get a click.
That definitely is an extreme, I would say. So you did the job there.
And it's not totally unbelievable. It does feel like if somebody promised him a certain number of clicks, he'd do it. Yes. Behind a closed door. I don't think he'll do it on camera.
You think he's that?
Dude,
that
he
much
sends
about it?
Out the most inflammatory stuff maybe in the entire media.
At times, it's gotten worse.
Rob Parker said an absolutely insane thing, and he knew he's not as bad as.
Yeah, we'll get into that later, Rob Parker, some of his comments. But no, I would say, though, with the year switching to 96.5 The Fan again, thank all of you, because obviously none of that's possible. None of the. The success that the station has had in the first year since switching to FM is possible without you guys listening to all of our shows and all of the programming. Obviously, we love interacting with some of the cool stuff. The Whittison's event doesn't work if you guys don't show up, right? And none of this stuff works if you guys don't listen. So whether you're watching on video stream through the Odyssey app or obviously in your car on the FM dial, whatever, however you consume the show, podcast, we appreciate you guys for being part of the show with us as well. Thinking of something cool to be part of, don't forget, fantasy football draft season is here. Some of you maybe have already had your fantasy football drafts. How about a really cool experience out at Arrowhead Stadium on August the 19th? So it's coming up from 6 to 10 p.m. You can draft from Arrowhead, the Hall of Honor. There's going to have Field Yates, who does a great job with ESPN's fantasy football coverage. They have a Q&A happy hour, a happy hour with Field Yates, sweet packages. You can have your fantasy football draft from 12 to 16 teams, right? Full night, access to your typical game day fare, three beer tickets. And then you go to your suite and you and your buddies get to do your fantasy football draft while staring outside of a suite and looking at beautiful Arrowhead Stadium. So it's a really cool thing. If you're going to be drafting, you want a different way to draft this year, try something new as well. Why not take place at Arrowhead? Go to GEHAfield@arrowhead.com for more details. That's GEHAfield@arrowhead.com.
Pretty sweet place to have your fantasy football.
Absolutely.
Draft. So don't know why you wouldn't want to. Like you said, go check it out over there. The Royals start a series in which we all think they got a sweep this weekend, because if they finish these 9 games 5-4, then things have just got to temper off unless they decide to win 10 in a row, in which case we're not going to like, well, this set better be, because the number is going to get increasingly more ridiculous. We thought it needed to be 6-3 during this stretch. Then the next 9 games against winning teams will need to be 7-2, 8-1 all of a sudden. And so there was a part of the conversation I'd asked Vern about that I'm having a hard time totally disagreeing with, because I can't quite put my finger on it either. There does seem to be a relaxed nature of the stars of this team that makes it feel like they don't have a killer instinct. Now, I don't necessarily think that that's entirely true, but there is part of it that, like, they don't seem, like I said to Vern yesterday, like they're having that much fun. It doesn't feel light and, like, it feels tense. And then because they're kind of like calm people and, you know, like it doesn't feel like mad, you know, like I think people want to be more mad about it. And that's not the personality type. There just seems something about, like, if you're not going to be like intense and angry and like we're the most fierce competitors on the planet, like from the outward perspective, I understand they're very competitive people.
Of course.
Then it feels like they should be light and fun and the team to cheer. And like, and it doesn't feel like you're getting either. It feels like they're stuck in like a lull where like, no real high ups, no real high downs, which kind of explains their perfectly borderline 500 record, you know?
My guess in terms of the fun component, you know, if you feel like it doesn't look like they're having as much fun, well, they're not winning as much. I mean, that to me, is it that simple? Maybe I'm oversimplifying it. If you're saying, man, it just doesn't seem like, you know, Bobby's having as much fun out there. Well, he's having a very nice season, but not as good as last year, where he should have been the MVP if it wasn't for Aaron Judge having an unbelievable season. Otherwise, he wins that MVP 9 out of 10 years. And so some of it is that team last year was the first taste of winning baseball for a lot of those guys at the big league level, and obviously going through a true playoff push and the excitement in the city. Whereas this year, you have playoff expectations. And frankly, before the season, myself and many, many others, the expectation was to win the division. And we all know that they're not anywhere near doing that. And so this year's ride hasn't been as fun because, frankly, the criticism has been even higher among fans, understandably so, because the expectation was higher and they, to this point, have failed to meet those expectations. So feeling more pressure, not winning as much, not having as much fun. Is it that simple? That's what I
was saying. It doesn't look like as much fun because it's not as much fun? Wait a second.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I know, but like sometimes you do have to like, because it's 162 games and it's a really long season, you actually do in a lot of ways have to force the attitude even when it's not there. Like, I know that sound, but like you got to be a fierce competitor when you're winning 70 games in a season or 110. You got to have fun when you're winning 70 games in a season or 110. Like you almost have to like form an attitude that exists no matter who shows up. And when Vern was talking yesterday that they still needed players like Adam Frazier to remind them about how they go about business or to help them get that confidence. So, and some of it's because they're young. Some of it's because it is still a very young offense. We've talked about this before. The entire offense is under contract again next year. Like Bobby and Michael and Vinny and Salvi. Like they're all, I mean, maybe not Salvi. But
Salvi's the one exception, you know, to what we're discussing. You know, he's gone through 100 loss seasons and all that. He's always got a smile on his face and having fun. I don't care what season, if it's July and they're on pace for 100 losses or it's September and they're on pace to win a division in like in 15, right? That Salvi's going to be that way, but that's not how every other player operates. He's unique. He just is. I think a lot of other players don't operate that way. And yeah, it's oversimplifying fine, but like, I really think they don't look like they're having as much fun because they're not winning as many games.
Because they're not having
And they're
as
dealing
much
with more pressure because they have failed to reach the expectation that everybody had for them, and they had for themselves, which was to win a division. And that's clearly not going to happen this year. The question is, can they get hot enough to get to a playoff spot? We all know the division's not happening. We've known that for a while.
No, for sure. There's no doubt about it. And I just, it is still concerning. Like, I want someone in this team to turn into the player that what we're talking about. Like, I don't want you to have to get Adam Frazier. I don't want you to have the Raul Ibanez chat. And with youth and those things, I do think that will improve. But there's a clear noticeable difference. Like, we talked about these trades before. When they brought in the people they brought in, the established veterans, you know, like, there was a shift in this team, and they have played better baseball. If they had played the level of baseball they've been playing since around the All-Star break, they would be in a playoff spot right now. So they did need some version of that. So maybe that's getting ready to like fire back up, or maybe what Vern said. Bobby is trying to take himself incredibly serious as a superstar. You're not usually the boys are playing some ball. The ultimate guys in the league a lot of times are seen as the world's fiercest competitors, right, Gold? I will do anything to get a win. And he does things on a baseball field that would do anything to win. Hell, he came off he had back tightness and then immediately made a play from deep short that three people in baseball can make. And so I'm not saying, but it just seems like they're in a, you know what it honestly feels like to me? It feels like they're in a transition phase where they haven't figured out who they want, like how to structure themselves from that perspective yet. And I think eventually they will find a way to get there. It just isn't there yet. Tomorrow or tonight, the Chiefs play their second preseason game. Can I just ask you guys real quick? Is the only way we're staying up to the very end of this game? I'm like, I'm going to need a drinking game or something. I'm not staying up.
You want a drinking
midnight
game?
I am not staying up till midnight to watch fifth stringers play in Seattle unless we have like a bingo card, a drinking game.
What would the drinking game be?
I need something for us to like chat back and forth on social media. I need something for us to like keep the juices flowing at 11:25 p.m. with Chris Oladukunin, okay?
Every time there's points scored, you take a drink.
I will be completely honest with you guys. I will watch the very beginning of the game, and then whatever other plans you have that you want to do on a Friday night, you go right ahead. You know,
you're saying just live your life.
Yeah, it's going to be a very late night of the second preseason of the year, and as you just said, a lot of the starters are not going to play.
You're saying watch the rest of the Chiefs Kingdom show instead of the actual game?
Honestly, yes. I'm three episodes in. I did not watch 4, 5, or 6 last night. I'm three in, and we'll talk about episode 1 and 2 that everybody was able to watch last night on ESPN in a second. But I just do what you want to do tonight. It's a Friday night. I can promise you, if I find out in the fourth quarter Breshard Smith had 2 touchdowns and 80 yards, I will go back and watch the fourth quarter. We will talk about it Monday. It's going to be okay for everybody.
But you're saying you don't have to watch that this second in order to accomplish that same goal.
I mean, is there anything worse than a preseason game in Seattle when you're not in the West Coast time zone?
I mean, it's horrible.
At least one. I mean, imagine if you were an East Coast team. This game would be starting at 10. It's going to be starting at 10 o'clock. Imagine if the Giants were playing a preseason game against the Seahawks.
You just wouldn't watch
this. This should not even be allowed. Honestly, it shouldn't be allowed. Seattle, you should not be allowed to have a Friday evening preseason game unless the teams also that you're playing is from the West Coast. This is crazy.
NFL preseason after dark instead of Pac-12 after
dark. It's nuts.
That's what it is.
I guess what's weird about it is you've established by choosing to live in the time zone you live in, West Coast, East Coast, whatever, to watch the sports at the time you watch them. NFL games start at noon, 3 and 7 o'clock Central Time. So if you lived in the West Coast, you've been used to going to a Seattle game at 5 p.m. Is it just like a preseason thing? And they're like, man, we're not getting anyone out to a preseason game at 5 p.m. on a Friday night. So we got to make this thing like so people don't have to take off work early and can leave work at the normal time and then get there. You're like, but you've already agreed to terms. You've decided football starts when it starts at any other time except for preseason. So now I got to watch a preseason game at 9? All I'm saying is that we could just have a drinking game or a bingo card. Yeah. Or you're just saying or just don't watch it. Or
do what you want to do tonight. You know, if go around, do what you want
to
do.
I got to get ready for my son's birthday party.
Have the game on 96.5 The Fan. If you need, drive, you got errands to run, you're going out with some friends. Yeah, this is one of those.
You got plans tonight?
I don't, but I'm not going to be sitting at 11 o'clock tonight watching the game. I can promise you that.
You'll either be asleep or out.
Or I'll be somewhere. Yeah. I don't have any plans yet. We're going to Vegas next week, so I might just take it easy this weekend. I don't know.
Probably wise.
Need to get some stuff done before I go out of town.
You got 5 days.
I just want to make, because I won't be around next weekend, got other stuff going on. Family stuff.
Okay. I was like, you're being vague like Drew. It makes no sense.
Oh, mine's not anywhere near that. Drew,
I was like, because if you're just talking about laundry or something, you got plenty of time to do that.
Drew's vagueness is like, hey, Drew will be like, I can't go and golf with you guys this afternoon. I'm like, oh, what are you doing? Something fun?
Things.
No, I can't tell you anything. And they'll be like, but are you going somewhere tonight? Like, maybe. Like, by the way, you never told us what you were supposed to go golfing, and then you said you had obligations, and you said you couldn't tell us. Well, that's where it's way more vague.
In fairness, though, the whole evening got a little bit screwed up.
See? We're back to this.
This is even more vague now. I'm even more intrigued.
I told you partially off air yesterday why it kind of got screwed up. There was something that.
You did?
Yes. It kind of ruined.
Do you remember? I feel bad now. You told us? I'm serious. I don't remember.
I'm gonna need a refresher. Because
you told us what happened on was that Wednesday night?
No. It was Wednesday after the show.
You couldn't go golfing because you said you had something that night.
Yes, but that plan ended up changing because I was here at work a little bit longer than I was planning to be.
Oh, okay.
I told you guys about this yesterday off the air. You don't remember.
I'm genuinely trying to keep it on air.
I made an appearance on a podcast.
That's right. Okay.
Drew was on a podcast and was talking.
It sounded way more nefarious.
Drew was on a podcast for an hour, which is a whole other story. And he was asked about Kansas City, and he said that he thinks Joe Burrow is just as good as Mahomes, yada, yada, yada.
There was no shot, Cody, I was getting to that golf course on time. I left the building at 4:30. I left here at 4:30. Oh, there was no shot of me getting to the golf course.
It was a 5:25 tee time, so you could have made it.
Yeah, but I didn't have...
Oh, if you had your clubs. Yeah, that's a good
one. I had nothing, yeah.
From the text line, 314, they're asking, because they had mentioned that I have to get ready for my kid's birthday party tomorrow, the family one. He'll have a friend's one later. Said, any update on Cody's son and his girlfriend? They are not, I'm reporting, not in the same class. So,
dang it.
That's probably the end of that. Not in the same class.
That doesn't mean it's
the end,
though.
Do you think that's for the better?
Probably. Yeah. Especially because his first grade teacher is a first-year teacher, and I don't think she needs to be dealing with the what's ever going on there, you know? You don't need that in day one. That's just too much to be dealing with. So, no, it's not. She is not in his same class. So
this doesn't mean that they won't see each other at recess, though. Is that true?
No, they can have recess at the same time. I was also just dying because, I picked up my daughter from dance the other day, and a lot of times I pick up her friend too.
Okay,
like we take turns. Like I take one way, and then their friends will take the other way, so we don't have to both drive all the time. So I was taking them home, and her friend was talking about the teacher she was hoping to get. Like, oh, I hope I get this teacher. I was like, oh, that sounds great. And she said, and then Ruby blurted out that Desmond had a girlfriend last year. And I said, I was telling a friend, I was like, he didn't have a girlfriend. I mean, he said that they did, but like, you know, they're in kindergarten, just trying to be like a normal.
He was in love.
Just being a normal parent. And her response, my daughter's friend was, it's like, man, he's going to get all the girls. And I was like, what? I was like, why was that your response? She's the same age as my daughter. I was like, why do you say that? She's like, he's already getting girls in kindergarten. Like, he's just got this locked. I was like, okay, yeah. I'm out.
This is foreshadowing. This is Jody. Foreshadowing.
Just wait, man.
Oh, man.
No, I can't hang out with the family. I have other obligations in high school is what the saying is going to be from him.
Mm-hmm. Apparently.
Coming up in 12 minutes, we'll talk with Joshua Briscoe, get his perspective on the Rashee Rice hearing that's going to take place in September and how he sees it playing out. Of course, you'll hear Briscoe tonight. Chiefs Radio Network pregame begins at 8 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. But we've always heard about power rankings. It's not some new concept or anything, but this one was a little different. It was so unique that we thought, all right, we don't always talk about this, but this is kind of cool because it projected future power rankings. So like not this year in week three, who's going to be the number one team, but projecting front offices and other aspects of the organization for years down the road, which we thought was kind of interesting. In fact, from 2025 through 2027, so the next three seasons, and they graded them on overall roster, not including your quarterback. Okay, that's important. Then quarterback, coaching, and front office. So number one, the Eagles were listed at 92.6 score.
I don't think that's totally unfair. They gave them number one good young roster,
number one overall roster, number eight quarterback, number 10 coach, number one front office.
I'll tell you what the other people think about it. They're coaching.
Baltimore was number two overall roster. They gave them the second best, third best quarterback, sixth coach, second front office. The Chiefs came in third, seventh overall roster, first quarterback, first coach, sixth front office.
That's what surprised me.
They should be second or third in front office, if not number one.
Yeah, they are.
It's one, two, or three. We can debate, should they be one? If you told me they listed them at second front office, I wouldn't have a ton of pushback. I think there's a case that they have the best front office in football. I understand why the national sentiment is Howie Roseman. But sixth, there's five front offices better than the Chiefs. It's projecting, but even projecting, what are we doing here?
Brett Veach isn't going anywhere. You could actually make an argument for coaching being lower, just knowing that you don't know what's going to happen in 26 and 27 for sure with Andy Reid. I think there's like a 90% chance he'll be coaching each of those next 2 years, 98% chance probably, that he'll be coaching each of those next 2 years. But I do think that they're right on a couple of things. Quarterback for sure, coaching I think for sure. And if you look at the Chiefs roster, they have one of the youngest defenses in all the NFL while being a very good defense. They have one of the older offenses in the NFL, but they have Patrick Mahomes. So, like, you got to, and their wide receivers are young. So, their offensive line being older, I guess I don't care as much about because they're under contract and locked up, and that should be okay. The thing that really threw me was the fact that they're, according to the people they talked to, and these people who work in the NFL, they thought that there were five front offices better than the Chiefs.
Which five are they?
That was surprising to me. Baltimore, which does not surprise anyone.
Eagles.
Those are the two in which, if you want to start making arguments,
sure.
I would argue the Chiefs are better than maybe some of those. But there's at least you're splitting hairs. Detroit Lions, they had a better front office than the Kansas City Chiefs.
They have a very good front office. Their GM's really talented, but better than the Chiefs, I'm not so sure.
In terms of recent, did it say what their perception of front office is? Is this the last three?
It's projecting for the next couple of years.
So it's for the Chiefs' sake, it is who their front office is now, man. I mean, it just is.
And if you go off of prior history with Brett Veach in the front office, who assuming they're still there in 3 years.
Be crazy if they weren't Rams and Bucks with the other two ahead of them, by the way.
Yeah, that doesn't.
They also, for each one of these, listed their. They had a different expert list their bold prediction for each franchise on this. So, like for the Eagles, for example, their bold prediction is this is pretty interesting. So, the Eagles will trade wide receiver A.J. Brown before the 2027 season. It'll be a shock. Brown will be coming off two more seasons of exceptional play, will be considered a major asset for the win now team that acquires him, but GM Howie Roseman will decide to move on and get draft assets for him. That's their bold prediction. Seth Walder, I believe, is who did those. For the Chiefs, they list as their bold prediction, Rashee Rice will record consecutive 1,200-yard seasons. After a promising rookie season, a sophomore campaign was cut short due to a knee injury, then a 2025 season that can include a suspension. Rice will finally put up big totals starting in 2026. So they're saying
next year,
I don't think so.
I mean, there aren't that many. We just looked it up. There were only like eight wide receivers in the NFL at 1,200 yards last year. So it is kind of bold. You have to admit, saying that somebody's going to get 1,200 yards is saying they're going to be one of the top 10 most productive wide receivers in the NFL the next 2 years.
I wonder if that's a, like, if you're in San Francisco, you're like, Rashee Rice is going to have that many yards? Like, I think for those people, it's more bold than for what we've seen of, like, in terms of the volume of how good actually Rashee is for us who watch him play on a regular basis. I feel like, I think there are some legs to it, Cody, of it being bold, like you said, but I don't know if it's, if he said he's going to be top three in the league in receiving yards, then I think we're entering into that solid bold category.
You only have one rookie year, which he finished with 900 yards, and a second year in which he got hurt. To say he's going to turn into one of the top 10 wide receivers in production in the NFL, I do think that that qualifies. Because otherwise you're just saying, like, bold in the sense that I don't think a bold prediction should necessarily be one that is completely unattainable, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it should be, Rashard Smith's going to be a 2,000-yard rusher. You know, like, yeah, I don't think it needs to go that
for
far.
Buffalo,
you know?
For Buffalo, they listed their bold prediction. I mean,
Josh Allen finally crashed.
No, it's worse than that. It says the Bills will win the Super Bowl. The 2025 and 2026 postseason will disappoint Bills Mafia yet again. But thanks to a youth movement, they will win it all in 2027. That one's funny to me because it's like, that one's funny because it's like, they won't do it. They won't do it in the next 2 years, but they'll do it in 3 years. That one's a little weird to me.
I know that we don't have time for it. I was going to say, like, Nick Wright had really kind of laid out, I think, part of a conversation really well, part of a conversation we've been having. We'll get to it in Major Chiefs Right Half Hour. That I think really emphasizes why you and I think you should just put Patrick Mahomes on his own, leave him there, and then debate 2, 3, and 4, and why they're trying to do both. Say there are people as good as him, but not treat him like everyone else. We can talk about it in the Chiefs Right Half Hour, but it lands in this same category the way they're talking about Josh Allen here.
Up next, we're going to be joined by Josh Briscoe, of course, the host of the pre and post game show on the Chiefs Radio Network. We'll get his perspective on looking ahead in the future for the Chiefs and also what is happening right now with Rashee Rice and a potential suspension.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.